In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today is St. Polycarp. He's this great bishop of the early church. Do you know who ordained St. Polycarp? You're nodding, so I'm gonna ask for an answer then. Who ordained him to become a bishop? St. John the Apostle. He was ordained by St. John the Apostle. The last living apostle ordained this man and established him to be the first bishop of the Diocese of Smyrna. You may not know where that is. It's kind of close to where your family comes from. In Smyrna, this great bishop was a man who loved God intensely, and you would expect that because the one who ordained him was the apostle who was called the beloved disciple, and as well, every word that ever proceeded from his mouth, as you read throughout the whole of his letters, is all about the love of God. He's intensely focused upon the love of God. That's what you read here within that epistle, that he who loves his brother has God within him, and if he does not love his brother, then God cannot abide in such a one. That we are not to love our brothers as Cain loved his brothers. Remember what Cain did? He didn't give him the brotherly kiss. He ended his life. And why did he do so? It says in the scripture, because his works were wicked, but it's really because he was jealous. Jealousy always ends in murder. When we look over, we see that somebody else has a particular thing that we ourselves desire. The end of that act of jealousy, where we seek to take that for ourselves, not to work hard so that we might achieve the same thing that our brother has, but to take that exact thing that it has, and because we're angry that he has it and we don't have it, that ends in murder. Something that often happens is that when we look at our brothers and we see that they maybe are favored in a way, maybe they get a role that we wish to fulfill, maybe they have a promotion that we wish that we could receive, or it even happens among brothers and sisters sometimes, where this one gets to make a particular choice as to what the family is going to do today, we wish that we would be able to make that choice. And so we become jealous of that choice. Or somebody is favored because father gives him a tip of the hat, or somebody else gives them the tip of the hat in this way, and we wish that we ourselves would have got that tip of the hat. Sometimes we have that, if we're honest, right, as serving at Mass, sometimes we feel like, oh, I wish that I would do that, right? I wish that I could have that role or things like that. What that jealousy does, wherever we find it within our lives, is that has the end of murder. It has the end of murder. And so we have to stop it close when we feel that twinge, that desire for that thing, that role, that place, that honor, that favor, is to cut it out quickly and say, no, I will choose to follow the teachings of St. John and to love my brother. Which means to rejoice when my brother gets that, or to rejoice when my sister or my sibling gets to make the choice. Maybe later on, I'll get to make a choice, but right now, let me have joy in their choice, in their election. Or when my brother is favored, to see that I share in that favor because he's my brother. And so as my brother is lifted high, if I'm related to him, then I also am lifted high as well, because we share the same bond of charity, which is founded only in Christ our Lord. That's how we defeat that. St. Polycarp learned that early on. Now, when St. Polycarp was on a journey to Rome during his life, he was going there in order to resolve some issues, which is a common thing within the early church. Well, what is the actual date where we're supposed to celebrate Easter? I won't go into that controversy now, but that was the purpose of his visit. And when he was visiting there, he stumbled upon two men who were causing no undue dissension among the Christian believers. One by the name of Valentinian, and then the other Marcion. These are two heretics of the church. Two heretics who fought against the church. And do you know what their particular heresy was? Particular heresy was this. There is only one true apostle of Jesus Christ. Do you know who they claim to be the only true apostle? St. Paul. Said only St. Paul is the one who really speaks for the Lord Christ. He's the only one whose words are important. And so he narrowed his canon of scripture, not to the 27 books which you and I would claim to be a part of the New Testament, but only to the 10 books, 10 letters, which he thought were important, written by St. Paul. And then he carved out his own version of the Gospel of Luke and said, that's all that's scripture. Everything that came before of the Jews, of the what we would call the Old Testament, dross. Let's kick it out. We can think of Marcion the heretic as the presage of the great arch-heretic Martin Luther, who kicked out so much of scripture, who sought to found his own way. Marcion was doing this long before him. That's how far back that heresy goes. And so he worked very hard while he was on this trip to find out about Easter, when it should be, to reconvert those who had fallen into Marcionism to the true faith in Christ, to follow under the Pope. I believe it was Pope St. Clement at the time. And one day, Marcion had heard that Polycarp was disturbing those who were following him, and he approached him on the street. And Marcion turned to him and said, "Polycarp, good bishop, do you know who I am?" Thinking himself pride in his own teaching. What do you think one who is so convinced of love, who was brought into the faith, brought into the episcopacy, into the priesthood, by the one who preached nothing but love himself, that is the beloved disciple, St. John. What do you think his response was to him? It's probably not what you would think it would be. He turned to him and he said to him, "Oh, I do recognize you. I recognize you. You are the devil's eldest son. You are the devil's eldest son." What a bold remark to be able to say to him. What we see here is something which I had a conversation with somebody not too many days ago. It was a young woman who was talking to me, "You know, Father, I really want to be able to get along with everybody who's around me. I don't want to call out the difficulties that they're struggling with from time to time. I don't want to be seen as mean in any way. And so I want to know a way where I can go by with them without really throwing their errors into their face." This is somebody who takes the opposite tact as that. Instead of trying to feel around for his feelings to make sure he feels included, Polycarp knew he was dealing with a heretic who was leading souls astray, and so he put it to his face. "I know who you are. You're the eldest son of the devil, because you're leading souls away into the devil's grasp." That's something of a masculinity that we need to be able to reclaim, not to be mean or jerks to other people, not to be able to harm others, but if they really are bringing harm, to call out lies. We have to be good as Catholics at calling out lies just as they really are, rather than trying to play softball with lies, to expose them for truly what they are so they may be rejected. That's why Polycarp is such a great bishop. When we find ourselves that we lack the courage to speak truthfully about the things that are around us, that's St. Polycarp. He's one who will help you to direct your ways, to direct your path. Now, St. Polycarp, one final thought on his life. He was a man who, because of his strong standing up for the teachings of the church amidst the heretics, was drug out and burned at the stake. As he was there, amidst the flames, he began to lead a high priestly prayer. And I'll share with you what he prayed at the end. Maybe it's something that can confirm us to put our trust in God, even when we are put to the test within our own lives, whatever little exposure to suffering and martyrdom we may feel within our own lives. This is what St. Polycarp prayed amidst the flames. He raised his hands up to God and looked heavenward, aloft from which his salvation would be sought, praying, "O God of angels, God of powers, God of all creation, of all the race of the saints who live ever in your sight, I bless you for judging me worthy this day at this hour, so that in the company of all the martyrs, I may share the cup of Christ, your anointed one, and so to rise again unto eternal life, in soul and in body, immortal through the power of the Holy Spirit." Only a man who's truly convicted of the gospel can pray a prayer like that, in the midst of suffering, in the midst of flames. "God, you are greater than everything that is. Thank you for this day, thank you for this hour, where I'm able to attest to my faith in you. I know that as my body is being destroyed, you'll put it back together with its soul in the kingdom which is to come through the power of the Holy Spirit which has been confirmed within me." Again, when you and I struggle in our resolve to stand up for what is true, to speak the words that men really need to hear, to call out a son of the devil as he truly is, go to St. Polycarp. He's one who can inspire you to have that manly courage to stand true to the faith, and as well, the courage to end well for the glory of God. To him be honor and glory now and always and forever. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.